Come on, God is good. If the kids and the youth haven't been dismissed, you can head on back. Glory to God. God is good, isn't He? We're going to talk this morning about faith for change because that's kind of the road that we're on. But I want to remind you, and if you didn't get one, I think there's some around. It's the Roadmap to Change. It's a little card, and this was a series before. But the first part of that was discovery, and then we built a plan. And then we implemented the plan, we created accountability, and then we measure our progress. So if you didn't get this card, see Donnie afterwards, she'll get you one. But we need to be changing, right? This is a year of change. And everything that's on this earth, I think, is changing. And if you don't decide to change, you're just either going to remain the same or get worse. I heard somebody say it this way. It said, never let good enough get in the way of excellence. Right? Never let good enough, I mean, well, that's good enough. Yeah, but is it excellent? Right? And if God wants us to change, He wants us to move on to excellence. Come on, are you with me? Now watch this. Turn your Bibles to Mark 11. And we're going to start there. But, you know, trying to change without the power of God is stupid. Can I say that word? Silly, ignorant, and dumb. Because we have the power of God available to us. Let me explain. We can change on our own because God made us free will moral agents, and we all have the power to choose. You know, I can choose three pieces of pie or not to have three pieces of pie. And my body will run better on no pieces of pie than three pieces of pie. I'm not hearing too many amens here, but it's okay. Let me just give you this illustration. I recently got a new car, and this car has this little button, and it's called the sport button. And so I can accelerate without the sport button on, and the car will go just fine. But you push that little button and hit the accelerator, and it's like coming shooting out of a cannon, right? In fact, the first time Renita rode in the car, we were down in Gorse turning on the light to go up the hill, you know, to the Bremerton Airport. And I said, watch this. I hit that and punched it. She said, don't ever do that again. Here's the point. We can try to change on our own. And we can try to grunt and groan and strain and moan and try to get this on by our own power. And we'll get somewhere with that. But when we activate the power of God that's within us, it's supercharged. Come on. We have to remember who God is and who He is to us. Again, this story in Mark chapter 11, the beginning of the chapter, Jesus is walking by and He wanted some figs. You know, he saw a fig tree, the leaves were out, and He wanted absolutely to eat, right? He was hungry. He went up there and there was no figs on it. And He said, I'm cursing this tree and it's got to die, right? And I'm paraphrasing, right? It's got to die. And nothing happened. It looked all the same. Nothing was changed. And they walked on and walked into Jerusalem. And then it says the next day they came by that tree again and it was withered at the root and completely dead. And His disciples went, whoa. You know, whoa. He talked to that thing and it died. And so this is where we're taking up the story because Peter was astonished and the disciples were in verse 20. Let's go to verse 22. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. So this morning, what I'm asking you, when we're talking about change, and change that might be a struggle for you to change, have faith in God. What does faith mean? It means that I have a confidence that that which God's promised to me is mine. And in many cases, I can have faith alongside with you, but I can't have faith for you. Right? We know that if a person wants to get into heaven, they must be born again. That's what Jesus said. So I could want for everybody in the world, and God does, for all of the world to come to a knowledge of Him and a saving knowledge and assurance of Him, but not everybody does. Because faith is personal. So what Jesus is saying to you and to me this morning, for change, have faith in God. Be confident that God is with you, that God is for you, that God will not leave you nor forsake you. Have faith in God. And there are some versions that say have the God kind of faith, but we need to remember that we're not having faith in our faith. We're not having faith in my ability to make this happen. We're having faith in God. Now, many of you know these names, but I just want to, when we talk about the name of God, who is He? In the Old Testament, God was known as Jehovah. In fact, that's such a sacred name, Yahweh and Jehovah, that the Hebrews didn't even say the name, they just say the name. But listen, He was Jehovah, and one of His compound names is Jehovah Jireh. And that means, there's different variations, but one means is the all-sufficient one. What does that mean? He's got all that you need. Another part of that is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. God takes good care of us, right? If we'll just acknowledge Him and have faith. So if your change requires something that you need, something outside of you, then you can believe that God will help provide that for you. Right? But watch this. Faith is always a twofold thing. God has His part and we have our part. Let me just give you an example. Say that God has put an idea into you for a business. And you feel like God wants you to start this business because He wants to prosper you so that He can use you to bless other people. Right? And you go, boy, God's going to give me a business. But if you don't get up and do something about it, that seed for your faith is dead. Right? Another instance, it's like, you know, I think God's put on my heart to become a doctor. Blessed God, I'm going to be a doctor. Well, what school are you going to? Oh, I don't need a school. God's going to make me a doctor. Everybody's just going to shake their head and walk away from you because you're a fool. Hello? So what I'm saying is that faith in God, when God speaks to you, requires us to do something. Right? An action. So in change, God is speaking to us to change. He's going to give us the plan and the power to change. You know, some people have addictions, and I'm not just talking about drugs or alcohol. They can be anything that it's like, well, that's just the way I am. My dad was angry. I'm angry. It's just the way it is. I'll always be angry, God. But God loves me. Have mercy on me. God wants you to change that. Hello? But you're not going to be able to change that on your own. You don't have to change that on your own. You can say, God, and you get into the Scripture and find the Scripture that talks about peace, talks about joy, talks about living the right way. And all of a sudden you say, God, these Scriptures are for me. And so I'm going to walk them out. Hello? Yeah. Again, I'll give you an example in my life. Is that years ago, I wanted the love of God. I wanted to walk in the love of God. Still do, by the way. But I wanted it more than I wanted anything else. I wanted my life to be a reflection of His love. Why? so that others could see Jesus through me. That was my goal. And so I started just meditating on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8, and just putting it into my heart. I mean, morning, noontime, nighttime, whenever I was around my mirror in the bathroom, it was up there, so I was speaking that over myself and just talking and meditating on it. One day I was at work, and as work goes, the shifts have, you know, we worked three different shifts, and I was on swing shift at the time. And I was working with this fellow, and all of a sudden he started to talk bad about day shift. Now, anybody that's worked shift work, that always happens, right? Because you, whatever shift you're on is the best one. And the other ones don't measure up. And if you aren't doing something right, it's because the other shift didn't do something right. You see what I'm saying? That's just human nature. So the fellow that I was working with started to talk about somebody on day shift. And my normal reaction would have been to join in. I've got some stories about Bob. You know, I can add to this narrative. But the love of God arrested me, because in those verses, it says love believes the best of every person, right? So my faith in God getting me to change, to walk in love more, came into fruition, but I had to not say what I wanted to say. Do you see what I'm saying? So we have to understand who God is, but then we have to walk in light of it. So Jehovah Jireh is God our provider. Jehovah Rapha is God our healer. Jehovah Nisi is the Lord our banner. Jehovah Tsidkenu is the Lord our righteousness. And watch this. I love this one. Jehovah Shalom is the Lord our peace. You know, that speaks a lot to me. And peace, shalom, doesn't mean just, you know, be at peace. It means that your heart would be content. It also means that everything that you have need of would be provided. It also means that all of your sufficiency is met in God. Be at peace, be at rest, shalom. It's extending the power of God to one another. So where's my power come from? It comes from Him. Have faith in God. He is my shalom. He's my healer. He's my peace. He's my provider. He's everything that I need. And watch this. This is really interesting. I spoke of Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. And we don't look at it that way. Maybe if you were in the military, you could look at it a little differently. But back in the old days when they fought with different divisions and they were all over the place and the battlefields were just chaotic, there was a banner person that held up, if you were of the 101st Division, there was somebody that held up that banner. Why? So that if you got confused, you had some place to run back to. He's our banner. What does that mean? That I have faith that I can run back to the one who has my back. Are you with me? He's my banner. He's my banner. Glory to God. So good. It's better than you're reacting. But anyway, it doesn't matter. Watch. He is everything that we need. But we need to believe that for us. Let me say that again. You need to. I need to. Believe that for me. Why? Because you're not always with me. And I'm not always with you. I'm not with you in the middle of the night when the devil is trying to tell you that you're going under, that you'll never survive, that you can't handle this. All is lost. But He is. He is. He'll speak to you in that moment if you begin to garner a faith that He's for you, that He's with you, that He's got you. Are you listening to me? Yeah. Have faith in God because He's with you. Glory to God. Glory to God. We're not going to turn necessarily to them, but I'll give you the references in Judges chapter 6 and verse 11 through 16. It's the story of Gideon. So Gideon, because of the armies that were surrounding him, and there was armies that came in, they'd get a crop, and the army would come in and steal the crop, and it was just over and over again. But here's Gideon, and he's sitting in this wine vat to hide, and to hide the produce of his crop so they wouldn't come and steal it. And an angel came to him. And Gideon's response is kind of, "Who, me? Are you talking to me?" And the angel had greeted him by, "Mighty man of valor." What does that mean? That you're strong, you're courageous, and you can do exploits. Yeah. And Gideon said, "Who, me?" Yeah. Right? See, in himself, he knew his limitations. But when God showed up and revealed to God who he was, Gideon became one who could conquer armies. Yeah. Are you with me? See, we've got to take off our victim's crown and put on our victor crown. But again, our victor crown is not in who we are. It's in who's with us. See, Gideon had to change his faith in his ability to his faith in God's ability through him. Have faith in God. Have faith in God, because God is with you and God is for you. And Sharon was talking a little bit earlier that you have to have faith in your own prayers, right? And you think, "Who am I?" Well, did you know that once you got born again, you became a part of the body of Christ? Yeah. Right? And Jesus, in talking in Ephesians chapter 1, he talked about that he'd given him all authority and all power, and the enemy and all principalities were under his feet. Now look at me. Here's my body. I have feet. And on the bottom of those feet, I have blisters sometimes. And I have calluses from where I've walked. And the older you get, more things happen down there, right? But even the lowest part of my foot, the most uncomely part of my foot that we never look at, is above this floor right here. What am I saying? If we're part of the body of Christ and Jesus has all authority over the enemy and we're part of his body, then if you're the most uncomely member in that body, say you're the pancreas, right, in the body of Christ, you're still over the enemy. You still have power. You still have ability, but you have to see yourself as in him, right? And watch this. You have to have corresponding actions to what you believe. And we're going to see what that is. Back in Mark 11, chapter 11, verses 23. Jesus said, "For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be thou removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that things which he says will be done, he will have whatsoever he says." So watch this. There's in this verse, it talks about faith. Because in the previous, have faith in God. But then he says, "Surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, 'Be removed and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart." So what does that mean? That means that our head can be saying one thing, but our heart is standing on the Word of God. Right? And I'm not letting doubt into my heart. I'm repeating what God has said and promised me over and over again in my heart. But I believe that those things which He says will be done. Oftentimes we begin to quote a promise of God, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And it's just like, okay. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Okay. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." But there's still doubt there. But the more that you begin to say it, the more that you quote it, the more it becomes, wait a minute, the Lord. The Lord. the Lord, Jehovah, the God who is more than enough, He's El Shaddai, that Lord, is my shepherd. He's the one that leads me. He's the one that guides me. He's the one who makes sure that I'm in the place where I need to get what I want or what I need. Are you with me? Amen. Right? So you begin to meditate on it. It goes from I saying this, but I'm not really believing this because there's still doubt there. But as the Spirit of God works on you, right, you begin to change. Your view begins to change. You say, wait a minute. If God before me, who can be against me? And in the midst of your working, in the midst of what you're going through, you go, wait a minute. Yeah, this looks horrible. I don't know how I'm going to make it, but it's not up to me. I just have to do what God's telling me to do. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. But I know, because the Word says, He'll never leave me nor forsake me, so I can do this. I can do this. I can do this. I can do this not in my own strength, but in the strength that He gives me. I can do all things through Christ. Now watch that. That's really incredible. And we've looked at those scriptures before. But I can do all things through Christ. Now Christ isn't Jesus' last name. It's His title. It means He's the Messiah. I can do all things through what the Messiah means to me. Are you with me? So is He my Savior? Absolutely. But is He my deliverer? Absolutely. Is He the one that brings me peace with God? Absolutely. Is He the one who will provide all of my needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus? Absolutely. So I can come to this change with an assurance that He's with me, that He's for me, right? Because I know that He is who He said He was. I can do all things through Christ, not by myself alone. Change, I'm facing change with I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now watch. We have to change what we're saying, change what we're believing, and change how we're acting when we put that into place. Because if you're one who's always felt like you are never enough, only bad things happen to you, on and on and on and on, what you're having faith is the plan that the enemy has put you in. But when you change that and go, wait a minute, have faith in God. I'm not who I was before I was born again. I'm not the person who I was when I was in the kingdom of darkness. I am now a son of the Most High God, a daughter of the Most High God, and I'm part of His family. So my prayers will do something because I am covered with the blood of Jesus. And He told me because of that blood and the washing of that blood that I could come boldly before the throne of grace to find help. Most of us, we go to the throne of grace and go, I don't know if He will, don't know if He won't. But we have to have the confidence that when we go, He's listening to us. And if He's listening to us, He'll give us the help. And sometimes that comes, He'll give you a word. Sometimes He'll bring you to church on a Sunday morning and the pastor will be saying some things that mess with you a little bit. Right? But what He's doing, He's giving you help. Giving you help. None of us in this room who know Jesus as our Lord and Savior are victims. We might have been victimized. Things happened to us in our past. But we're not victims. You have to have this added. I'm not going to take this anymore. And I'm not fighting flesh and blood. I'm not going against those who've done this and have done that. I'm going at the one who was behind the scenes. Are you with me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am no longer a victim. He's made me victorious. I am a champion for God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. Go with me to Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4. When you go to the faith chapter and you look at all of the champions of faith, there's a thread of what I'm saying this morning that's in all of them. Noah was not a boat builder. Let me say that again. Noah was not a boat builder because there had never been a boat built. Right? But he was obedient to the Spirit of God. And when God told him to build a boat, he said, I can build a boat. And God will give me the power to build a boat. And not just a boat. I can remember as a kid, different kits you could get where you could build your own little 8-foot pram. And awesome, you could do that. But this is a boat. Huge. Took him years and years and years to build it. But when God spoke and showed Noah that he was the carrier for humankind, and this was the way he became a boat builder. I need you to see yourself this morning that you're not who you are in the flesh alone. You are who you are through the word and what he said. I'm no longer a victim. I refuse to be victimized. Yeah. You know what I've noticed over the years is that when a bully gets punched in the nose, he stops bullying. He'll look for somebody else. He'll look for somebody else. I can't get him anymore. He'll bring a bat next time, and I don't need the bat upside my head. But that he said, no more. That victim said, no more. I'm not going to be bullied. And I believe the enemy is a bully. But we need to take the word of God and put it in our mouths. Look at Romans chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. Watch, this is so powerful. And I don't want to get bogged down, but look at that. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace. What does that mean? That means that my entering into the grace, and grace means all that God has given to me because he wanted to, right? Very simplistic term, but that's what it's saying. He said, all of those gifts that he's given to me, either for me to partake of or for me to be a participant of or a giver of, is by my faith. That's my entry. God, you said it. I believe it. And therefore, I'm going to act like it's true. Are you with me? It's like, I know that God spoke to me years and years ago, even before I was saved, put in my heart to be a minister for God, to be a pastor. And so what I'm doing right now, what I'm preaching to you, is been birthed for many, 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 many years. But when I get up to speak or get up to sing or get up to do anything, I have faith that the one who called me has equipped me. But I can't sit at home and go, I know he's equipped me, boy, I'm going to preach. I'm going to, you know, someday in the far by and by, boy, I'm just going to. No, you have to start where you are and act like that's true, even when you don't see it, feel it, or whatever. Glory to God. But he always backs it up. So my entrance into the anointing is in believing that the grace and the gifting that that includes is for me. And so, God, I'm just going to step into those doors. How many have ever said, oh, God, I just want to know what to do. God, I need to know what to do. God, help me. Anybody ever been there besides me? Did you know he's already said that he's made unto you wisdom through Christ Jesus? So what does that look like? God, I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to let that come out of my mouth. I am going to say that the Lord is my wisdom. and the Holy Spirit who's been given to me, the promise of the Advocate, is in me, and He's going to show me what to do. And He's going to show me exactly what I needed. So I'm not going to stress or worry. Why? Because my faith calls those things, and we're going to see that, as though they were not, as though they were, based on what He said. So faith is my part. And my faith is only there because I've heard what He's given me. You can't have faith in God outside of the Word of God. Let me say that again. You can't have faith in the Word of in God outside of the Word of God. For instance, you could say, well, you know, He said, whatever I say, whoever says to this mountain and whatever things I desire when I pray, I'm just going to believe I'm going to receive them. So I'm just going to walk like that. So I believe that I receive this man's wife. She's the perfect one for me. Just an illustration, honey, don't worry. You know, right? No, you can't say that because the Word doesn't promise you that. But when you have a promise out of the Word of God, you can stand and go, that's what I'm standing on. Because God has graced me with the promise. And I'm standing in faith that He who promised is faithful. Are you getting anything this morning? Yes. Hallelujah. Now listen, because if we're going to change, we need to stay on it. And you know, we said that this is the year of change. This is the year of change. And we're in April now. And I've noticed that any plan of change, there's usually periods where, I don't know. And we want to give up, right? What I want to encourage you is not to give up. Amen. Is press on. Keep on. Because God's doing a great thing in you. And again, I want to be more like Jesus at the end of the year than I was at the beginning of the year. Amen. Why? Why? So that I can influence more people. So that I can introduce more people to the love of God. All right. Verse 16 again. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only those who are of the law, but those who are also of faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. What this is basically referring to is that there are people under the law, or the Hebrew people, and then there's the Gentile people who've been grafted in. And all of those get the promises of God simply by faith. It's the way we walk. It's not by our actions or our doing. Verse 17, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of him, he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did. So again, you know the story of Abraham. You know how Abraham was, you know, he was called out of his home country and by obedience. And God said, I'm going to make you a great and mighty nation. And what he was really inferring is that through your seed, speaking of Jesus, that mankind would be introduced back into the life of God. That's the main thing. But in that and surrounding that, he told Abraham, he said, listen, I'm going to bless you. Now, again, my interpretation. But think about this, God coming to you. And you're living in a tent. In a place you don't know. And God comes to your tent and says, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I don't know what your circumstances are today, right? I don't know where you are in your life and what's going on in your life. But I believe God's coming to you this morning and saying, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you. And if God comes to you and says, I'm going to bless you, honey, that's blessed. That's blessed. That's not cursed. That's blessed. How do I enter into that? By faith, believing in the grace that he's given to me. Right? I'm going to bless you. Why? So that you can put your name up on a plaque somewhere? No. So that you can be an example of how God can use anyone to be a blessing. I'll say it this way. I don't have time to go into it. But grace is not for you. It's through you. Let me say that again. The grace of God that comes to you, yes, it's for you. You get the benefits of it. But the ultimate goal is not for it to stop with you. It's to be flowed through you. So everything that God's promised me is for me, absolutely. But it's not to stop there. It's to be through me. That's the way He wants our lives to be. Glory to God. Verse 18, who contrary to hope, in hope believed so that he became the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Abram did not fully believe this. God told him, cool, that sounds good, but he didn't fully believe it. How do I know that? Have you heard of Ishmael? Right. There are many, and later in the later chapters in Genesis, God had to come to him again. And Abraham's, what are you talking about? I don't even have my son yet. And God said, I made you the father of many nations, and so I want you to get this into you. So I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. You know what Abraham means? Father of many nations. So every time Abraham introduced himself from that point on, I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. I'm the father of many nations. How come you're saying it? Because God said it. Because that's what God called me. I'm the father of many nations. And it went on for years before the seed was born. What am I saying? When you find out what God has said about you, even if it doesn't seem like things are happening, in hope, you believe in hope, even though it seems hopeless. Because this is what God has said. This is what I believe. This is what I'm going to act on. Come on. Make it personal this morning. Are you in circumstances you don't like? Are you not feeling the way you want to feel? Have you don't have favor that you know that God wants you to have? I'm telling you this morning, find out what God has said, and in hope, outside of your circumstances, believe that He who promised is faithful. I'm not going to be who God said I am by my own ability. I can't pray enough. I can't fast enough. I can't do any of that. All those things are good. But it's only in that God said it, I believe it, and I'm going to walk it out. Yeah. Are you with me? Yeah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Faith always takes action. God promised, and just listen to this. God promised Abraham that he was going to be the father of many nations. And he promised that seed that he was going to produce was going to come through Sarah, who was old. I mean, old. Old. But she must have been, just give me a little grace here. She must have been a hot oldie. Why? Because when he went to Egypt and he went different places, Abraham said, hey, tell him that you're my sister. The great, mighty man of God. Tell him you're my sister, which was a half-truth. But tell him you're my sister, right? And the king went, oh boy, I'll take her to be my wife. Must have been a hot oldie. Anyway, so watch this. Watch this. Abraham was going to be the father of many nations. Sarah was going to be the mother of many nations. But if they'd never come together in their old age, there would have been no seed to be implanted. What am I saying? They had to act on what they said, even when it seemed hopeless. And you and I have to be in the same place. Lord, I don't know how this need is going to be met, but I just believe that you're going to meet all my needs. Lord, I hear what the bank's saying. I hear what this is saying. I hear what all this. God, you're going to give me the answers. But I believe, Father, that you're going to provide all of my needs according to your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe, God, that I'm going to know what to say, when to say, how to say it, because you caused me to have favor with God and with man. Lord, I just believe that I can trust with you with all of my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, but all my ways, everything I'm doing, every second of the day, I'm acknowledging you as you have a part in my life. And Lord, you're with me. You're going to take care of me. You're going to show me what to do. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge you, and you will. You will. You will. Whether I'm 5 or 95, you will direct my path. What's your path, the next step you need to take? Right? That's going to lead you where you need to go. How do you get there? By faith in the grace that God has given to you. I got to quit. I don't want to quit. Watch this now. Verse 19, and who not being weak in faith did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old, or the deadness of the hottie's womb. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, was by strengthened by faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he'd promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore, it was accounted to him for righteousness. We're to have faith in God. We're to have confidence and assurance that which he promised will bring me to pass. We live in such an uncertain time, and if you watch the news and the things that have just happened in the last day, I mean, you just go, and all I can think about are the people. The sides I'm interested in, obviously, but not that much. It's all the people that it's affecting. And so my heart is, okay, God, I just need you to be in this. I need you to touch people. I need you to show me how to pray, how to believe, how to get through. Because God, I know that you want to reveal yourself to every person that's on the face of this earth. I have faith in God. And even though, I mean, I've gotten texts and stuff about, well, you need to do this. This is happening. This is going to be the end. This is going to happen. You need to store water. You need to get gas. You need to, I mean, I've got all those things. And while some of those things might be pertinent, here's what I think is most important. God, you're going to be with me tomorrow, just like you were today, and you'll meet my needs tomorrow because you're Jehovah Jireh. So I have peace in the midst of the storm. Come on. Have faith in God. Who is God? Who is God to you? That's where the rubber meets the road. Amen? Have faith in God. Did you get something today? Hallelujah. Let's pray. Woo! Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you not only for your word, Lord, but I thank you for the people that you've put us together with. Those that are watching online, thank you for watching online. You bless me so much, and I hear, even though none of you or a lot of you don't say you're watching, I hear later that you are, and that just blesses me and blesses us. We're thrilled to have you here. But we're asking you right now to just put your trust in God. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, or if you had and have walked away from him, just come back to him. You don't have to join our church. You don't have to join any church per se. I believe you need to be in church, but that's a different story. Jesus is the Messiah, but he wants to become your Messiah. He wants to become your Savior and your Lord. So just give your heart to him this morning. Just a simple prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, I come before you and I know that I need a Savior. And I believe Jesus paid the price for my sins. So I, in my heart, believe that Jesus is the Lord. He is the Messiah. So I'm saying with my mouth, and I'm believing in my heart that as you raised him from the dead, God, you've raised me from the dead. So thank you, Lord, for being my Lord and my Savior. If I could have the worship team come up as we're closing, you be blessed in Jesus' name. I pray for your prosperity. I pray for your healing. I pray that you just be blessed in Jesus' name. I pray blessings upon everyone that's listening to these words in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Amen.